Yo. Yo.
Yo. Welcome to the 188th Wing Podcast, where you get your in-depth information on what's happening in your wing. I'm Airman First Class Miles Chrisman, and I'm here with the 188th Wing Director of Psychological Health, Dr. Cole Smith. And we are going to be talking about mental health in the Air National Guard and what you can do to better manage your mental well-being. Thank you for tuning in, and let's start with some quick introductions.
My name is Dr. Cole Smith. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I am a director of psychological health here at the 188th Wing. I'm relatively new here to the wing. I've been here since last November, but I've been a clinical social worker for going on about 12 years. My grandfather retired from this unit and from this base. Even though life didn't necessarily take me down the same path in serving in the Air Force, it's truly an honor to be here and serve the airmen of the 188th now.
We're very thankful that you were here. I can attest personally and from things that I've heard that we at the 188th are very happy to have professionals like you and Holly here that can assist us in those things.
I appreciate that.
First of all, what strategies do you think that members can use to manage stress and other challenges that come with being in the Air National Guard? I know that the Air National Guard is very different from being in the military otherwise because we are both civilians and service members. We have to balance both of those. Is there anything that you can let us know to help with that balance?
Yeah. So, you know, just to elaborate to your point there, airmen in the Air National Guard have to balance a lot of dual roles, and they have dual responsibilities day in and day out. And you're serving your country, and you're also serving dinner to your kids and family, right? And so that presents some unique challenges because you have to switch between that warrior ethos that guides your service in the Air National Guard, but you have to switch between that and, you know, the guiding principles and values of being a father or being a spouse very fluidly. And so to contrast that with, say, active duty airmen who may be in service, you know, overseas or even here, they just kind of stick with that warrior ethos the whole time. And it's not quite as challenging to transition. So that's a unique aspect of the Air Guard, I think, that be stressful. As far as how to deal with some of that stress or stress management, you know, stress management is an interesting concept because right off the bat, we as humans tend to not like things that don't feel good, and often stress doesn't feel good. And so we label stress as something bad, and we need to get rid of it. In all honesty, stress is a normal part of everyday life. It's a normal part of our moment-to-moment living. And stress actually serves important purposes in our lives as a human being. It can really help motivate, it can help protect, it can help us plan and organize and complete goals. Where it becomes a problem is not that we have stress, but when stress ventures into becoming chronic stress. And stress is both a physiological, it's a physical thing. You know, we've all been stressed where our chest is tight, you know, or maybe we're getting nauseous or we're sweating. But stress is also psychological. So we worry, we ruminate, we start with the what ifs, right? And so stress is this dual issue that we have to, in time, you know, as we progress through our life, we have to learn how to manage those dual aspects of it. And when stress becomes a problem, it really becomes a problem. So the accumulation of stress in the body is known as allostatic load, and it can contribute to a whole lot of other health issues, including cardiovascular issues. So strategies to manage stress are really, really important. And so, you know, starting off with the basics, right? So good sleep, good exercise, and a good diet are really important for learning to manage the day in and day out stress, because sleep is how we recharge, right? That's how we, you know, not just process things, but that's how our muscles kind of recharge. Exercise is really important because that's how we stay healthy. And exercise doesn't have to be going to the gym four times a day. You know, it can be going for a walk consistently. And then, of course, diet is something that people often overlook when it comes to mental health. But in truth, every single thing that you put in your body impacts your brain. And while our mental health has a lot of different components, it's not just what's happening in our brain or in our mind. That is obviously a large piece of the puzzle. And so you want to give your brain good fuel. Good food equals good fuel, and good fuel is going to help you deal with those psychological issues that arise just from being human in your day-to-day life. So that's some real basic things to consider. Another big thing, you know, anxiety is a powerful thing that people experience whenever they're under stress. And one of the easiest to do but hardest to master skills to deal with anxiety is simply managed breathing. Controlled, deep, what we call diaphragmatic breathing, so where, you know, you're not just having a shallow breath from the chest, you're having a deep, full breath from the belly, or, you know, by extending your diaphragm down intentionally. That is a powerful tool in helping with anxiety. And it has a physiological component too. So as you have a slow, controlled, managed exhale, your body is actually producing and releasing acetylcholine, which helps neutralize or manage cortisol levels. And cortisol is a stress hormone. It's really bad for us. It's great for short-term survival. It's really bad for us long-term. Breathing, often people struggle with the controlled breathing because they say it doesn't work, you know? And the truth is no, it doesn't work instantly. It's not an instant fix. It's something that you have to practice, and it can take time. But it is an absolute game changer if one has anxiety or struggles with anxiety. If you can develop a practice of controlled breathing that you utilize daily, it can really help with both the physiological and the psychological components of anxiety.
I have heard a lot of people say what you put into your body is what you put out. And a lot of people don't realize that that doesn't necessarily just stop at the physical aspect. It's everything mental, because your brain is the thing controlling all of it. What role does like squadron leadership or wing leadership, or even when it comes to even down to direct supervisors, what role do those levels of leadership play in promoting mental health awareness and support to airmen here at the 188th?
In the spirit of this being Mental Health Awareness Month, I think the first point to make here is, let's not have it in the shadows. Let's not put mental health behind a curtain or a locked door, right? And people in positions of leadership, whether they're officers or NCOs, they have a unique opportunity to bring light to the issue of mental health. And you don't have to, share your business with everybody, so to speak, but have a willingness to have the conversation. You know, I think that is one of the most important things about bringing awareness to mental health, to helping people who are struggling with various mental health issues. Let's just talk about it. You know, if I come to you and I say, oh my gosh, you know, this arthritis in my knee is killing me, And you're like, oh, well, I did X, Y, and Z, and it was really helpful. That's a normal conversation anybody would have. No stigma, no nothing associated with it. But so often that's not the case with mental health. It's very quickly the tone of the conversation changes to, oh, well, maybe you should, you know, go talk to somebody else about that, you know, or let's talk about that later, not right now. Well, let's not do that. Let's have that conversation. And I think that is one of the most important things that leadership can do, is have a genuine, sincere willingness to talk about it and to not push it into the shadows.
A big part of just being in the Air National Guard, we touched on this earlier, was like, we are both airmen and civilians, in a sense. We are military, and like, you hit it perfectly. we are in the military, but we're also sons, fathers, daughters, mothers, brothers, sisters, husbands, and wives. What are some things that airmen can do for their families and vice versa to help each other with their mental well-being and just mental health in general?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously family is important to all of us. And I think that when you have the demands placed upon you, like airmen do, you know, who are serving their country, and it becomes even more important, you know, those connections with family. And so whenever it comes to mental well-being and resiliency in the family, one of the most important things, maybe not a specific thing, but a concept, is connection, right? Like we want to really connect with our loved ones. And you do that through, you know, sincere time together and being intentional with what you're doing with your family. And so, you know, encouraging each other to be very transparent and talk to each other about what's going on in our minds and in our hearts. It's very important. It's so easy when we get stressed or when we're going through a rough time, it's so easy to isolate. And unfortunately, you know, that easy way out, so to speak, is the way that mental health issues develop and get worse when we become isolated. So connect with family, encourage to talk, be supportive, validate what your loved ones are experiencing in their lives. You may not fully understand it, but you don't have to. If you can make that loved one feel heard, if that loved one feels believed, they feel validated, and they feel cared about, those things, that those habits of connection with our loved ones are going to go a long way in helping families deal with the stress of their day-to-day lives. And in the long term, it will absolutely build resiliency with those family members.
You touched on isolation while talking about that. Something I could add was that isolation could also damage your relationship with those family members or even friends. A lot of the time you hear people talking about the impact that mental health issues and just stress in general have on the individual. A lot of the time it's neglected to think about like what it does to the relationships that individual has with their family, friends, coworkers. Those things don't really get talked about a lot. Do you have anything to elaborate on that?
You know, one of the things, and some people may have different feelings about thinking of it like this, but humans, we're either herd animals or we're pack animals, you know, albeit we're intelligent ones, but from design, we were meant to live as a group, okay? That the family was the unit. Yes, we're all individuals, but we never survive alone in the world. You know, a baby human is one of the most vulnerable animals on planet Earth. You know, and there's not a single baby human that could survive without their family. Sometimes that family's really friends. Sometimes that family is best friends, is loved ones, is sometimes it is mom and dad. Whatever that family unit looks like, though, that's how we survive. And so because of that, stress, when it impacts one piece of the unit, it impacts the whole unit. And sometimes it's hard to see that. But the truth is that we impact each other every moment we're around each other. That's just the way that we are as a species. And so when an airman is under stress, you know, due to work or due to different obligations, there should never be a doubt that their family, the people who are close to them, are picking up on that and are experiencing that, albeit maybe vicariously through them, but they are experiencing it and it's impacting them. Sometimes they hide it, right? Sometimes they avoid it. Sometimes they isolate, but it's there. And so, you know, here on base, we have an entire part of the airman care team that's devoted to the family. you know, and family readiness. And so that is just something that is should be accepted, that if somebody is struggling, the people around that person are going to struggle too. It may look different. It may have different outcomes, but the struggle is real, and the struggle is real for everybody who's involved, especially friends and family.
Absolutely. We've been talking a lot about things that airmen could do for themselves when it comes to their family, stress, other mental struggles. But what are some things that the 188th does as a wing to provide resources, or just the Air Force in general, to provide resources for airmen?
Sure. So, you know, I'm like I mentioned, I'm relatively new to this position and working with the Air Force. And one of the things that I was really just struck by and is quite impressive is the amount of support that is available. You know, if I'm just a civilian working, you know, at a random place in the community, I don't necessarily have people I can go to there for help with finances, for help with, you know, maybe to talk about mental health, to help with legal issues, right? And I'm mentioning all these things because they contribute to stress, right? But the Air Force, being here and being new to working with airmen and working with the Air Force, there are so many resources and opportunities available to airmen to seek help. Our chaplains are fantastic. We have, of course, family readiness, which I mentioned. We have Miss Jasmine Kane, our SARC, our sexual assault response coordinator, right? She's there for, you know, if something awful were to happen to somebody, they're there. And of course, there's Miss Holly Hanum and myself in this, the role of, you know, directors of psychological health. Any airman can just walk to our office, and both of us are licensed clinical social workers. We're licensed mental health professionals, and you can come and sit down and talk. There's no charge. There's no fee. You don't even have to have an appointment. And that kind of resource, and not to speak, you know, not to overemphasize our role, but the truth is civilians don't have that. They don't have access to that. If I want to go and see a therapist about something,
you've got to go pay. You've got to go make an appointment. You make sure you have insurance.
Yep. And I definitely can't just walk in.
No, right? Not at all.
And so, you know, it's things like that I've been really surprised about. And say an airman experiences something and develops a mental health issue that they do need treatment for, right? And well, we don't do treatment per se as directors of psychological health, but we are here to help coordinate that and to get airmen the help that they need. And once you start getting that help, there is a process. But contrary to what some people think, you know, once if you reach out for mental health services, you don't just get discharged. your career is not over. In fact, there's a significant amount of time that, you know, the Air Force leadership, they want you to get help. And you have a significant amount of time to get help for things that are going on. And I think that is really important for people to understand. Now, obviously, there's a process. And like any process, a process can be confusing, it can be frustrating to work through, but you don't do it alone. You know, your leadership is there, we are there, and once again, just to speak to the amount of resources that are available to airmen, and especially here at the 188th Wing, you know, Miss Holly and I, there's two of us. There's not very many wings in the Air National Guard who have two DPHs. And so yeah, there's a lot of resources available.
You mentioned that, like, contrary to the popular belief, you won't get discharged if you are diagnosed with anything. I believe that there is a very large stigma about the military, as long with pretty much anybody, but like military, or have a big stigma against mental health. don't show your emotions. Don't, you got to keep it together. You got to look strong at all times, which I believe is a very harmful and toxic way of thinking. It can do a lot more damage than it does good.
I could talk all day about mental health stigma, you know, and why it's there and all of that. But truly, if you're diagnosed with something, you know, it's a medical issue. What matters is that something interfering with your ability to do your job, you know, to serve your country? If it is, then there's a process to go through to see if it can, if that can be resolved, right? You're not just let loose. And if it's something that with treatment and with time, and if it's something that you can still do your job, just because I might have some anxiety, that doesn't mean I can't do my job, right? It doesn't mean I can't learn the skills to manage it. It doesn't mean that I can't, you know, work a treatment plan with my providers to get things to a point to where I can function just fine at work. I can, sir, you know, I can do all these things. And so really, whenever it comes down to, I would assume any medical condition, but, you know, mental health included, if it's not interfering with your job, if it's not interfering with your ability to do what you have to do, then you go through the process and you're able to continue to serve. And, you know, there are plenty of people who have been through that process and continue on with their careers unfettered and are very highly successful. And so I think that's probably more associated with some really bad stories. You know, bad stories always make the headlines,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what grabs attention. That's what hang with everything. Is the worst stuff is what gets the attention, and then that becomes the mass opinion. That's what everyone thinks is happening because they don't see anything else. They don't know about the success stories per se. Well, they don't know that it happens often. It's not a rare thing.
Yeah, and so because of that, you know, there might be a situation where, you know, an airman does end up separating because of the development of a debilitating issue. But at that same time, there might be 20 others who work the process and nobody ever knows, you know, because the process is there for that reason. And that is, as you mentioned, that's a shame. And I think we see it with a lot of things in our world today, but the success stories are not held up as high as the other side of the coin.
You mentioned earlier your father was in the Air Force. He retired from the 188th Wing. Is there any stories or anything that you can remember that would tie in pretty well with this conversation?
You know, so my grandfather retired from the 188th here, and there is a story he used to tell about he was a crew chief on an F-4 Phantom. And there was a story he used to tell about going to Gunsmoke. His team, you know, his team of pilots and everyone associated with his aircraft, they beat the F-16 guys. And one of the most memorable parts of the story is when he would tell this story, he would talk about the family of the airmen, the family of his unit, and the connection they all had and the camaraderie.
I think that is one of the biggest strengths of the 188th or just the Air National Guard in general, but I can only speak for the 188th, is the aspect of family that we have. Active duty Air Force, yes, they probably have very close bonds within their offices or their squadrons, but they get shuffled around. They go to different duty stations. They get deployed more often. We're here with each other every day or every weekend. We live in the same community. We're truly a family. And I believe that is one of the biggest strengths when it comes to mental health, keeping everybody happy, is that everybody knows everybody.
Well, and I can, even though I'm not an airman myself, I, you know, whenever I came here with my grandfather's history here, I have met several people who worked with my grandfather. And they have told me stories about him, And even though I'm not serving in the same capacity that you all are, I still feel connected. You know, I still feel a part of the unit here. And part of that is because, like you said, you know, there's some people who's been here 25 years, 30 years.
25, 30. Yeah. We had somebody retire a couple months ago that was here for 42 years. So that really anchors down on the family aspect. We've known each other for a long time. We family members have worked here. We hear stories about those family members.
And that those connections are... If there is one thing, I mean, I could obviously talk about mental health for hours and hours because it's my profession, it's what I do, mm-hmm. And I'm a talker. But if there is one thing that, like, a word that represented something that's going to keep somebody alive when life has you down and is kicking you, it's connection. Connect with others. Connect with your values. Connect with what makes you you. And even there's even research to show that connecting with nature, you know, is really it's a preventative measure for stress and its negative impact. Connecting with hope. Find a something that gives you hope about the future. And it doesn't have to be anything big, you know, like peace on earth, even though we all would wish it. You know, that's going to beat your hope down pretty quickly, you know. It can be hope for tomorrow, for later today. You know, we actually only live life moment to moment. We don't live life days or years at a time or even hours. We live one moment to the next. And if you can connect to something that gets you to that next moment, then that's a good thing. And that's going to strengthen you. It's going to improve your resiliency and make you less susceptible to some of the challenges in day-to-day life.
I really like that quote, just if anything, stay connected, connecting with nature. I know that's a huge part of my life personally. Like going on hikes or taking a walk somewhere, camping, things like that. Just fill my cup. I've heard that a few times. Find things that fill your cup, make you happy. But don't forget to share the wealth a little bit. Make sure everybody else's cup has at least a little bit in it. Yeah.
And even your work, right? Connecting to meaningful work can be so important. So, you know, there's a lot of, I know for me coming in, I was really surprised by how many airmen work here, you know, serve here, who are not just flying the mission, you know, their mission support group and all of our other groups on base that support, you know, maybe what operations group is doing in ISRG, but are just as vital, you know, whether it's security forces or med group, you know. Sometimes it's easy to get detached from the meaning in what we do day in and day out, especially when you work in a big bureaucracy, you know, like the United States Air Force or the DOD or what have you. But the truth is every airman here is contributing to the defense of their nation, right? It doesn't matter what group you're in. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You are playing a role. And sometimes, you know, we can get lost in the shuffle and feel disconnected. And we have to get back to that. Even if you're helping, you know, serve the airmen lunch during drill, you're serving your country. And if you can connect even to something like meaningful work, sometimes that will absolutely be what's needed to get you out of that isolation.
Is there any updates that you have from the DPH office or just from you?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually the DPH office is moving. Currently we're in building 218, but we're moving to security forces. I don't have an exact date on that yet, but that will be coming soon. And of course, we will let everybody know when that happens. The directors of psychological health have a button on the Air Force Connect app now. And there's some good information on there, some ways to contact us, some resources. We're posting a tip of the month. This month is actually about mental health awareness, and it's a link to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's website for a toolkit, a mental health awareness toolkit. And it has some social media posts in there and some cool stuff. And the last kind of update that I'll finish with is we are producing a new newsletter. We're planning for quarterly, and then we may put one out randomly like we did this month in May, but it's called the Mental Health Minute. And it's just going to have some updates from the DPH and hopefully provide some good tips, resources, things like that. And we're going to try to get that out to the base quarterly.
That's it for this month's 188th Wing podcast. We'll have a new episode released every week before drill, so keep a lookout for those. Thank you for listening, and make sure to join us next time.